our God is a consuming fire. You know, fire comes through and it burns up all the brush and the underbrush and the things in the forest floor. Will you let God sweep across your life and burn some things out? Take some things away from you. Take some habits, take some thoughts, take some behaviors out of your life. And I do say it most Sundays, but not every Sunday. Sometimes I miss the goodness of God. And it can be because of busyness, because of preoccupation, because of being tired. It can be because of being distracted. But we can miss God's presence and goodness to us. You know, I think about the children of Israel. And every day they had a pillar of cloud. And every night they had a pillar of fire. Indicating the presence of God. We kind of have almost the opposite. Every night we have the moon up there in the sky. Every day we have a ball of fire, the sun. And they indicate the goodness of God, the presence of God. They indicate God's working in our lives. As long as the sun keeps rising, God is going to keep working with people. Now, the children of Israel got to the point where they weren't in awe of that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire anymore. And they weren't focused and aware of God's presence and God's working and God's participation in their lives. They took it for granted. You guys know where this is going, don't you? Yesterday, God let me see some elk and he let me see a deer, and I went down by the boat and I saw a Dungeness crab out there. I don't know how he let himself get stranded. This Dungeness crab was in distress. And I went down there and I assisted him. There was a seagull. He was sitting down on that Dungeness crab and he was all over him. And, you know, he was like, oh, I finally caught one of these crabs. What am I going to do with it now? Can't crack it open, can't do anything. He was just harassing the crab, and the crab, for the best of him, was trying to get away from him. And I went down there, and that seagull got scared of me. And the crab's like, oh, thank you. No, he didn't. Then the crab was wishing the seagull was back because Jacob picked up the crab. But we helped him into the ocean. Then I went back and I saw the elk. I went across the little bridge over there. And then the tide came out, and there was a flat of acres and acres, a couple hundred acres of just tide. Where the water, you know, it must be this high and then boom, down to nothing. And there was little things in that tide plain. And I saw a sandbar sticking out a little higher than the rest. And I looked over. Of course, I'm driving. You know, my wife would have been piloting if I'd have been driving. She'd have been with me. But, you know, I'm trying to get the kids to look at everything. I'm like, guys, look, there's two eagles over there on that sandbar. And they look over, and sure enough, they see them. You know, it's like they don't have the stress of driving, but they still can't find everything like I can. Even with my old cheaters and everything, I found a lot of the stuff first. We popped up around the corner, and I go, there's deer. It's part of my DNA that I see them. And God liked letting me see them deer, and he liked letting me see them eagles, and he liked all those things. But you know what he really likes? when I turn around after he lets me see something amazing, and I say, God, thank you. I'm not taking it for granted that you let me see that. I'm not taking it for granted that you let me do that. I recognize your presence in my life. I want you. See, in the beginning, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God wanted man to love him, to fellowship with him, and to worship him because he wanted to, not because he had to. And he gave man, you personally by extension, a free will. And you decide, first of all, whether or not you include God, whether you love God, whether you serve God, and whether you worship God, and you include to what extent or how far you as a person are going to take it. Let me read you this. It's out of the bulletin. And J. Wilbur Chapman was in London. He had the opportunity to meet General Booth, who was at the time past 80 years old. As Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of trials, conflicts, and victories, then the American evangelist asked the general if he would disclose the secret of his success. He hesitated for a second, said Dr. Chapman. Then I saw tears coming into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. He said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all that there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth that there was. And if there is anything of the power of the Salvation Army, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. He said he went away from that meeting with the General Booth, knowing the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender to God. See, God doesn't just, he is pleased when I recognize and I include and I value and I love him, but he wants me to give myself to him. Abby and Caleb are going to be married. It's already February, isn't it? No, but it will be on Super Sunday. It's still January. Relax, everybody. February, March, April. April 13th. Now, it's practically here. And I don't know what their wedding vows are going to be exactly. I think they got the streamlined wedding where he says, do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. You're married. I now announce to you the man and his wife. And that'll be the wedding. But in my wife and I, we had a little more structured vows. And inside our vows, I said, I give you all that I have. Now, fast forward about 36 hours later, and I'm sitting in a bathtub clanging the side with my ring. And I'm like, Jackie, I got on my willing slave band. I give you all that I have, dear. God wants us to give to Him everything we have. He wants us to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the encouragement we find here. Father, You've been so good to us, and so many times we don't even recognize or acknowledge it. Help us. Help us as we recognize, as we include, and as we value God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the Holy Ghost, and we're going to continue there today. And we're going to go to fire. We've looked at the rivers of living water. We've looked at the seal. We looked at last week wind as the unseen power of God. And now we're going to look at fire. When I think about fire, I think about a few things. One thing I think about is our neighbor calling my dad and saying, "Pastor Beatty, your boys was playing in fire out in the yard and they had my boys with them." And then there was a whole nother type of fire. It was unseen fire, but it sure was felt. And I think of another fire. I think of a fire when my mom was a girl that burned down her house. And she never got over the caution of checking things and doors being closed and thanking God that her whole family was intact and survived from that. But it put a mark on her for the rest of her life. I'll think about a fire in a wood stove that we weren't supposed to ever let go out. Fire that heated our house and kept our home comfortable. I'll think about that fire that one day got out of the wood stove, not while we were there, but it burned that house and it had to be repaired. I'll think about the fire that heated the water that I used to take a shower this morning. I think about the fire that cooks food. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were thrown into a fiery furnace. I think about the fire that was put on a little pile of twigs and wood and burned through the rain of Bloody Mary. And person after person was put to death because they trusted Christ, because they had a Bible, because they preached and taught and had a service outside of the Church of England. I think about the fires of revival that burned through Wales, where the men couldn't get the animals to move because the animals weren't used to nobody cussing. Where the miners went down into the mines singing, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." Think about the great awakening and the revival fires that burned through America. Think about a day in Jerusalem shortly after Jesus left them into heaven. And they were assembled together at Jesus' instructions, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. I don't know if it sounded like a freight train or not, because they didn't have a freight train back then to compare it to. There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it sat on each one of them like fire, like cloven tongues of fire. And they received the power of God to minister, to witness, to go forward as the early church. I think about the fire. Brother Lindsay, I don't know about you. Every once in a while, I get alone with God and I say, "God, You got to put a little fire in my bones. God, it cannot be me. It has got to be you. It can't be worked up. It can't be imitated. You can't fake it till you make it. It has to be fire that comes from God, from God's Spirit, from God working on a person. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, John was talking to his disciples, and John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Think about the song we sing, some through the water, some through the blood. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through the water, some through the flood. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. I'll think about the idea of false fire. I'm not super worried about it. I'm just happy to see somebody encouraged because of God. Just loving the Lord. We've seen enough cold embers, right? Anybody ever had a campfire and you put it out right in the middle of when it's just perfect and nice? I went over to the Webster's on Tuesday. Brother Ed and Joanne was over there also. And we both had in mind to be a comfort and a blessing. Webster's have a TV in their living room, and they had it set to a fire, a campfire, an outdoor campfire, and could hear it cracking a little bit and burning. Almost so realistic that you could feel warm a little bit from it. How odd is that? We've all sat around and enjoyed a fire. My granddad, Albert Tomlinson, we'd say watching a fire helps you think, helps you unknit some of your problems. My mom told me this about a month ago, maybe 2 months now. My granddad had a bottle of pills in his medicine cabinet. And if you took them down, you looked at them. From the pharmacist in Newton Falls, Ohio. And it said, Albert Tomlinson, to stay awake in church. I don't know what it was. But I'll tell you what, when there's a little bit of fire, you don't have any trouble staying awake. I know he was a farmer, and he worked midnights as a security guard, and he worked and worked and worked himself. When you get the right fire, it excites the interest of your mind. It renews your spirit. And you can drag a dead body, a dead tired body, a whole long way when God fires things up for you. I told my kids yesterday as we was driving, I said, 2 hours is a new 8 hours. 2 hours sleep's a new 8 hours, Mr. Lindsay. You ever hear that? And I say 40 is a new 30. If they can say that, I could say that. And all the things God let me do and give me excitement, I had no trouble getting home. Plus, I knew I was coming home to my dear. And I knew she'd have a fire going for me. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? We look at the Holy Spirit of God as a fire. Now, fire in the Scripture has several indications for us. And the first one we've already mentioned, the pillar of cloud. Let me read that in Exodus 24, 16 and 17. Moses went up on the Mount of Sinai. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the cloud, or into the midst of the cloud, and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, can you imagine this? It's like a fire up on top of the mountain. And you're down there, and you're going, ooh! And Moses goes up. He goes up to a certain point, and God calls him, and he goes on up into that fire. The glory of God. Now, we know Moses came back shining, right? But that's not the only thing Moses came. He came back with the Ten Commandments, but he ended up breaking them, and we got to remember why he broke them. Does anybody remember why he broke them? Do you remember, Mark? They were doing some bad stuff down there. So they were in visual contact with the glory of God in a way that we've never seen it. And after so many days of it, they got used to it and they went along with their plans and they made a golden calf. And they started committing fornication. And they started breaking the Ten Commandments before they even got down there. God indicates his presence to us, and we have an easy time forgetting it. The fire represents the presence of God. It also represents God's chastening and God's punishment. Hebrews 12. Chapter 20 or 12, verse 29 says, "Our God is a consuming fire." It's a reference back to Deuteronomy, where it says, "Our God is a God, a jealous God, and a consuming fire." In Jude chapter 1, 22 and 23, it's just the one chapter. It says, "And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh." We think about one day, all judgment committed to the Son. He's going to conduct two judgment seats. The judgment seat of Christ, where he's going to judge all of the believers. And then there's going to be the great white throne judgment. And at the end of that great white throne judgment, it's a judgment of everyone who is unbelieving that Jesus as Savior. And at the end of that judgment, all of them are going to be cast into a lake of fire. It's not going to be like a victory day. It's going to be a horrible day. Afterwards, God is going to wipe away all tears, because there's going to be a bunch of tears. There's going to be tears as we think about people we should have pulled out of the fire. We should have saved them with fear. Not fear of witnessing to them, but fear that they wouldn't accept it. We got the fear in the wrong direction. When we get a good look at the fire, our focus will be correct. The fire is the presence of God. It's also of God's punishment. The fire is a representation of God's power. Now, I know we looked this morning at power to patience. We're going to look at power to witness and power to minister for God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I know this is a familiar scripture for us. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. If you go a chapter 4 to chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We know that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us where there's knowledge, it shall cease. Where there's tongues, they'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part. These guys were given ability that they could go out and they could preach, and there'd be 18 different languages there, and everybody heard in their own language. There was guys there from Asia and from Africa. There was guys there that were from the different countries around them, guys up into Greece and up into Europe a little, and they were all gathered there in Jerusalem. And when they preached, they all heard in their own language the wonderful works of God. And God gave them that power and that sign for the Jews. And it was given as a transitional gift, apostolic gift, and it was given from the death of Christ when the Holy Spirit arrived till the end of the Scripture. And the Bible tells us when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. God gave them that blessing for that time. The apostles, you know, they were disciples until they were apostles, except for Judas. The Apostle Paul was a disciple out of his dispensation. They were given the power of God that they could perform some miracles, and God gave them that power and that authority. It was because of the Holy Spirit of God. Who here has opportunity or access to the Holy Spirit of God? Who here has had Him work on you? General Booth said, I made sure that God got every bit of me that there was. Every bit of my heart, every bit of my soul, every bit of my mind. He said it in three different ways. He said influence, and he said that what he had in his life, he gave every bit of it to God. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all of your being. I've thought about some of the services that God's let me be in, some of the prayer meetings, some of the places where I've seen the power of God. I remember one Sunday, right in the middle of the invitation, a fellow right about where Mr. Lindsay's at stood up and said, guys, I need to be saved. Under the conviction of God's Spirit. And he didn't know what church was about or how to behave or what to do. He just knew he had a need. I'm thinking about God working and moving in my life and calling me and blessing me and helping me and encouraging me and the people he sent along to love me. the different opportunities that I had to serve. And God loving me and growing me along so many times in spite of myself and through my exuberance and errors and ignorance. And God made things work. He encouraged my heart. The Holy Spirit fell on these people. And they were able to share the Word of God with boldness. And they were able to experience a church unity. And they were able to come forth. And they served and worshiped and followed God every day. And the power of God, represented by the fire of the Holy Ghost, was the impetuous in the beginning. I think about the fire as a protection of the Lord. Moses comes up. Here's the burning bush. He says, come closer. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. He's coming to see the bush because he noticed that it wasn't consumed by the fire. He noticed that it wasn't a natural fire. It was a supernatural fire. God desires to protect you. Sometimes not from the fire, but in the fire. I read a story where the group they were on the Great Plains. The grass and the brush grew on the plains to be about this high, about to the mouth of a horse. And every once in a while, a fire would start on the plains. And that brush would fire up and it would just sweep across. There was a rat wagon train out on the middle of the plains. And they noticed a fire coming toward them. They had an old scout with them. And he had them start a line of fire. And it burned back toward the other fire. And as soon as there was a big black spot in front of him, he moved the whole wagon train onto that black spot. And as the fires rushed to one another, where the fire had already burned, there was no ability for the fire to continue forward. There was no more food for it. And I say, what an odd thing that he rescued them from that great fire by lighting another fire. I want you to know sometimes God allows us to go through some trials, some difficulties, and he has a purpose for it. Imagine when he started lighting the fires, all the people in the wagon train were like, oh, mercy, don't do that. We've got enough fire here. We don't need you starting more fires on top. We got enough problems. But when they ushered over and moved on to that black spot, and the fire went around them. So where the fire has already burned, you're safe. Our God is a consuming fire. You know, fire comes through and it burns up all the brush and the underbrush and the things in the forest floor. We let God sweep across your life and burn some things out. Take some things away from you. Take some habits, take some thoughts, take some behaviors out of your life. There's in Isaiah chapter 6, the year that King Uzziah died, says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphs. Each had six wings, and he did fly. Twain, he did cover his face, and the twain, he covered his feet, and the twain, he did fly. Had six wings, and two would fold up and cover his face, and two would cover his feet up. And the last two, he was flying in the temple with. And one cried unto another, and said, "Holy, holy, holy." One of those holies was for God the Father, and one of those holies was for God the Son, and one of those holies is for God the Holy Spirit. As the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. He had a live glowing coal in his hand, he'd taken with the tongs off the altar. And he took that coal and he put it on Isaiah's lips. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Think about this fire and the purifying of Isaiah. Not just the purifying, but the promotion that God gave him. And immediately I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" You know, when God says, "Let us make man," God says, "Who will go for us?" Who's he talking to? You know, every once in a while I'll say, well, me and the boys got together, and we had a discussion, and we decided that Jake should go out and take trash out. Now, there aren't any boys. It's just me. And I kind of like talking to myself. And I come to the conclusion that Jake should take the trash out. And I'll say it that way. But it's not that way when God's saying, "Who will go for us?" It's God the Father. It's God the Son. It's God the Holy Spirit. And it says, "Who will I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Well, here am I. Send me." When we understand the presence of God, the power of God, the punishment of God, and we look at the purity of the fire of the altar, God says, "You're ready for promotion. Who will go for me?" The Holy Spirit of God. He'll be with you every step of the way, if you'll include him, if you'll want him, if you'll listen for him, if you have opened up your heart, if you've given your life, and if you're determined to submit and obey. And I asked you this morning, did anybody ever negotiate with God? I'm going to ask you this afternoon, did you ever fight with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit say, "You ought to go over and talk to them." You go, "Oh man, I don't want to go right now. I don't feel good. I just want to do something else. I want to relax. I'm so busy. I'm too tired." You know all the junk we say. Holy Spirit says, "Why don't you go witness to them?" "No, I can't do that." Holy Spirit says, "Why don't you go apologize?" See, as soon as Isaiah recognized and saw the glory of God, he had a different response than the children of Israel. You know, they got their party going in less than 40 days. Isaiah saw the glory of God, He saw the Lord lifted up, and he saw these angels, and he said, oh, man, I am unworthy. And God said, yes, you are. He went and got the coal off the altar. The angel put it on his lips, said, your iniquities are taken away. Your sin is purged. And then God said, now that you are clean, you can go for us. Now that you have confessed your sin, now that you have submitted, you are qualified to serve the Lord. It's the ultimate blessing, and it's the ultimate promotion from God to give us an opportunity and a place of service. It is a privilege to serve the Lord.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.